From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, the White House takes credit or shifts blame on the horrendous pullout in Afghanistan. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. On Monday of this week, the U.S. had all planes and military personnel out of Afghanistan, stranding hundreds of Americans and our Afghan allies in country. 24 hours later, President Biden declared that the war in Afghanistan had come to an end.
The decision to end the military airlift operations at Kabul Airport was based on the unanimous recommendation of my civilian and military advisors, the Secretary of State, the Secretary of Defense, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and all the service chiefs and the commanders in the field.
Meanwhile, between 100 and 200 Americans reportedly are still seeking evacuation, not to mention the thousands of Afghan allies who believe that the United States would save them from the Taliban. Will President Biden keep his promise to get out all of those who wish to leave Afghanistan? That's what he said this afternoon. Well, joining me now to talk about this and more is FRC's Executive Vice President, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, who is one of the original members of the U.S. Army's Delta Force. He also spent the last 4 years of his 36-year military career serving as Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. General, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Tony. Glad to be with you.
All right. The president says his actions were based upon the recommendation of his civilian and military leaders. Were they telling him what he wanted to hear or what he needed to hear?
Now, Tony, I think we need to go back and listen to what he said again. He said the decision, I think, to end the longest war in American history was a unanimous recommendation. That may be true, and I suspect that it is. I don't know of anyone who wanted the war to continue. However, what he didn't say was that there was a unanimous recommendation that he execute the plan that he executed, which is why we're where we are right now. That plan was about as backwards as anything that I have ever seen, and they did everything wrong. He made every wrong decision, and he didn't say that that was a unanimous recommendation to do what they did.
And therein lies one of the issues that you, along with a number of other retired military leaders, have been raising, and that is the fact that some of the top military leaders we have are really not doing this country the service they should. In fact, they're doing a disservice to the president by not speaking out and challenging some of the decisions that he's making.
They are indeed, Tony. And at their first press conference, the two of them together, the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, they said they didn't have adequate resources. They didn't have the resources that they needed to go out and get Americans and bring them in so that they could be rescued and evacuated. Well, there's a couple of problems with that. Number one, you should have asked for those resources that you needed. You should have asked for the Delta Force, the Marines, the SEAL Team 6, those rescue units. And the second thing that's wrong with that is if you did ask for them and you didn't get it, then you don't have the influence with the president that you need to have. Therefore, you don't need to be in the positions that you're in. And that's what our letter was about. It was about accountability. It was about accountability by two people that are key members of the president's national security apparatus. And they failed one way or the other. They failed. And I think that's why we wrote this letter asking for their resignation.
Talking about Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General
Mark Milley,
to step down. And that, of course, was signed by almost 100 retired generals and admirals. I think that number is actually growing.
It is.
As the letter gives out there, more want to sign on to it. Let me go back to the president's decision to withdraw. Now, I listened to his speech today, and quite frankly, I think he talked about a lot of things except what was at the heart of this. I think you're absolutely right. I didn't disagree with the fact that at some point we needed to get out of Afghanistan. I mean, 20 years of being in Afghanistan is a lengthy period of time. And we can't be the world's policeman and be everywhere. But it's the method in which we left that is at the heart of this issue. The fact that we really, I think, tucked our tail and we ran. I want to play another clip of what the president had to say today, really kind of justifying this haphazard exit from the country. Clip number three, please.
Previous administration's agreement said that if we stuck to the May 1st deadline that they had signed on to leave by, the Taliban wouldn't attack any American forces. But if we stayed, all bets were off.
So we were letting the Taliban decide how and when we were going to be leaving?
Yeah, I mean, look, clearly it's former President Trump's fault. And, you know, Tony, can I just say this? This is a black mark on American history. And I think that this is one of the darkest periods in the 245 years that we've been a nation. And I think that going forward, we need to decide what we are all about. What do we stand for as a nation? Because right now, our allies don't trust us. Our enemies know that we are weak, and we'll take advantage of that and exploit that. And our values are very questionable now. And one of those values is that we'll never leave an American behind. And the president even said that at the beginning of all of this and then backed away. So what are we? What are our values? What are our American values that we're willing to stand by, that we're willing to sacrifice for, that we may even be willing to die for? What are those values? And right now, I think that the whole nation is in a state of confusion about that.
Well, what I take away from the president's statement there is that we were, I'm just going to say it, afraid of the Taliban.
Yeah.
Because if we set our own timeline and we didn't make it because we wanted to get all of the people out that we wanted to get out, and the Taliban wanted to take action against us, well, I mean, we just knock them down. Now, I'm not for gratuitous violence, but we have to protect our interest, and we are supposed to be the most advanced equipped fighting force in the world. And we're going to let the Taliban determine for us the time frame, because what the president was saying to me says that he's afraid, that we're afraid of the Taliban.
I don't think there's any question that that's what he was saying. And I think that I don't think that his spokespeople have done or said anything to dissuade us of that notion or that understanding of what he was saying there. He was afraid of the Taliban. I mean, look, when the Taliban apparently, according to the latest reports, said, look, we'll let you control Kabul until you're out of here. And we decided that we didn't want to do that. And we gave it to them. We told them that we would prefer that they handle it. What is that all about?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is just crazy, and we're going to pay for this.
Well, General Boykin, I think you're absolutely right. It is one of the, I think, the darkest days in American history when we do need to step back and ask the question, who are we? What do we really believe? What are we made of? What are those values that are transcendent, those values that we pass from one generation to the next? Because certainly these are not the type of values that build an enduring nation. General Jerry Boykin, thanks so much for joining us. And it's not the people that were just left behind. Lots more. Don't go away. We're back after this.
We are living in a time of biblical illiteracy, meaning most of our friends and neighbors, including those who attend church, don't think about the day's moral and cultural issues through a biblical lens because they do not know what the Bible teaches. We are seeing the terrible effects of this on our culture as our society has rebelled against the truth of God's Word. That is why Family Research Council has launched the Center for Biblical Worldview. This exciting new ministry was created to help Christians adopt a biblical worldview, to understand why Scripture must be authoritative, and to give believers the tools to advance and defend their faith in the workplace, in their communities, and in the public square. Through FRC's Center for Biblical Worldview, you'll get research and resources to help prepare you to give a biblical answer to our culture's most pressing questions. access the center's free resources at frc.org/worldview. That's frc.org/worldview.
Calling all university students. Are you looking to grow as a Christian leader and to equip yourself to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture? Join us at Family Research Council for our 12 to 15 week internship program. With a speaker series focusing on careers and callings, lectures from prominent conservative leaders, and weekly biblical worldview training, you will grow in personal and professional development. You will have the chance to work in a variety of departments with positions in policy, communications, event planning, and more. Gain experience by working directly with our experts who will guide you in pursuing careers of influence so you can make a difference wherever God calls you. This paid internship offers fully funded housing in the heart of downtown DC, giving you the chance to experience our nation's capital. Take the next step in your professional journey. Visit frc.org/internships to apply.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So good to have you with us. Again, let me encourage you, if you'd like to help in the relief effort of what's happening here in Louisiana and in Mississippi, Samaritan's Purse, down here on the ground, we're working with them, partnering with them. Go to frc.org/relief. FRC is putting forth $25,000 as a matching challenge to our listeners to help these storms and different natural disasters becoming more frequently across the country. And I think it's a great opportunity for the church to minister. So go to frc.org/relief. President Biden and his administration say they will continue leading diplomatic efforts to ensure safe passage for any American or Afghan partner or foreign national who wants to leave Afghanistan. President making that commitment yesterday in his speech to the nation, as he said, America is out of Afghanistan. So was the withdrawal a success, as the president said? And was this administration, were their hands tied by the Trump administration, as he said yesterday? We're going to talk about that next with my next guest, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Mr. Secretary, welcome back to the program.
Tony, it's great to be back on the show with you. Hope you're doing well today. And I'm praying for all the people down in Louisiana that were impacted.
Well, and I know you've got family ties down here, so you know what it's like.
Yes, sir.
Well, let me jump right into this. I want to play a very short clip of the president yesterday in his speech to the nation, where he said the withdrawal was a success.
The extraordinary success of this mission was due to the incredible skill, bravery, and selfless courage of the United States military and our diplomats and intelligence professionals.
Now, Mr. Secretary, you were involved in conversations with the Taliban. You know very well that landscape and what was happening. You knew the challenges that faced the country in leaving Afghanistan. I mean, is the president correct? Was this a success? We left Americans behind. We left our Afghan allies behind. Is this a success?
Well, Tony, it certainly was not a success. He described it as an extraordinary success. It certainly wasn't that. It wasn't even a success by his own metrics, right? He promised that he would get every American home and didn't deliver on that. It didn't have to be this way, Tony. The truth of the matter is he chose a political deadline, originally September 11th, right? That's an important day in American history. He chose an arbitrary political deadline and said, we're going to be out by this time, but didn't account for the conditions. And if you ask the central difference between how President Trump and I approached this problem set and how President Biden and his team approached it, they were determined to set a date certain. And while we are thrilled and we think it's the right thing to do that we've got our young men and women home from this 20-year struggle in Afghanistan, the exit, the messiness, the absence of coordination, the poor planning, and then the ultimate result, which was the loss of 13 American lives, now Americans still on the ground behind a bunch of equipment in the hands of the Taliban butchers, those didn't have to be the conditions-based withdrawal that President Trump and I had worked on for an awfully long time was the right path forward. Sadly, they threw out the conditions and simply withdrew, and you can see the debacle that has resulted from that.
I want to be very clear about that, because I don't think there's any difference of opinion there in terms of it was time for America to get out of Afghanistan. We've been there for 20 years. You know, at some point in time, we had to end it and get out. That's what the Trump administration had been in discussions about. So I don't think there's any issue there. It's how we got out and what occurred as a result of that. But I'm going to go back, because I want to address this issue, because several times yesterday in the president's speech, he pointed back to the previous administration, his predecessor, and I'm going to quote from him. My predecessor had made a deal with the Taliban. When I came into office, we faced a deadline, May 1st. The Taliban onslaught was coming. We faced one of two choices: follow the agreement of the previous administration and extend it to have or extend, I'm just reading the transcript, or extend it to more time for people to get out, or send in thousands of more troops and escalate the war. Was that the two choices?
No, that's a false choice. And President Biden knows better than that. He knows that what he said there is not reflective remotely of what they found when they came in on noon on January 20th. We'd worked with the Afghans in the north. I spoke with them. I spoke with NGOs, women's groups, religious groups. We spoke with every Afghani constituency that we could find, including the Taliban, and we set down conditions for each of them, the things that would have to take place before America could fully depart. And we worked it. We worked it for 2.5 years while I was Secretary of State. We went from about 15,000 to about 8,600. We stopped, we paused, we evaluated the conditions. We made another decision. It would go about 4,500 to see if we could still maintain the order and stability and protect America's interests. We did so successfully. And then President Trump, who wanted to get everyone out, made the decision to go to about 2,600 or so. And again, we evaluated the conditions, and when we left that day, that's where it was. We entered into agreements with the Afghan government and with the Taliban back in February of 2020. Those understandings said, if you meet these conditions, America will do the following things. These conditions were to deliver on the things that matter to the American people, keep our soldiers safe, make sure we could get everyone out, break with al-Qaeda, all of the things that we demanded of the Taliban. And the president had no obligation to withdraw those troops on a date certain. We never put a date certain in place. I don't think President Trump would have ever directed me to have done that. And when you do that, when you pull out of Bagram, when you tell the bad guys this is the day we're leaving, you see precisely the kinds of results that we got.
So what was the May 1st date that he made reference to, he kept making reference to?
This was a target date that was set out in the agreement, both with the Afghans and with the Taliban. It was the target date. This is the day that if you all do the things that are outlined in this agreement, this is the day that we think we can remove all of our forces. But as you well know, it didn't proceed that way. It certainly didn't proceed that way in January on our watch. But President Biden didn't pull out in May either. So the idea that they had to either be out in May or reinforced with tens of thousands more troops, it's just false on its face. It's factually inaccurate. It's not what President Biden actually even did. No, these were a set of conditions, and each time we made clear to the Taliban, you harm an American, you put an American at risk, we're going to impose real costs on you. And we did that. There were, Tony, several times that the Taliban moved in places they weren't supposed to move, consistent with their promises. And when they did so, we rained American power on them. We had a model set up. It worked. It delivered the outcome. We were down to 2,500 soldiers, Tony, and we still didn't have Kabul overrun. We didn't have provincial capitals right. overrun. We still had zero attacks on any American. We had not American killed in the last 18 months. It was only when President Biden made the fateful decision to pick that date certain and withdraw everybody right. before we had all the Americans out, before we had the conditions right, that you saw this tragically executed withdrawal.
It was a debacle. Mr. Secretary, we're up against a break. I want you to hold on, and we're going to continue this conversation on the other side. Folks, stick with us. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, my guest. We're going to continue our conversation right after this.
Do you want to be able to stay up to date on conservative news? Are you looking for Christian resources to help you stay politically engaged? Then download Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. With all of our content available at your fingertips, you will conveniently be able to stay up to date throughout your busy day. The Stand Firm app will give you access to a variety of resources, such as our most recent episodes of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, tweets and other social media posts, and our latest blogs, updates, and publications. Additionally, you will have the opportunity to take action and make your voice heard by contacting your elected officials on the issues that most concern you. Visit the App Store on your smartphone or mobile device and search Stand Firm to download Family Research Council's official Stand Firm app.
With the growing hostility we're seeing in our culture towards God's truth and Christians, it is imperative that Christians pray, stand for truth, and seek after the Lord. Join FRC and FRC Action President Tony Perkins for the Pray, Vote, Stand broadcast. This weekly half-hour program features experts, elected leaders, and Christian leaders who can help you discern how to engage the culture and understand current events through a biblical lens. Tune in at PrayVoteStand.org.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. So good to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. My guest, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, discussing America's withdrawal from Afghanistan, President Biden's speech to the nation yesterday. Mr. Secretary, thanks for sticking with us. I want to go back to you. In fact, I think you got some criticism from your conversations with the Taliban and working to get out of Afghanistan, even from conservatives back when that was taking place. Were the Taliban leaders, were they meeting the criteria that the Trump administration had set out so that you felt like there was a point in time in which we were going to be able to successfully remove all American presence from Afghanistan?
Well, Tony, we never trusted them. We never believed in the words that they'd say. We simply watched how they executed on the ground. And so as they did the things that they'd committed to do, we began to reduce our force posture, our uniform military force posture. We were determined to get these folks back home. But we were mindful each time that it had to be based on conditions that we had laid out for them, the demands that we had made from them. We never promised them any money. We didn't bribe them. We didn't suggest that we had leverage by providing American taxpayer resources. We simply said, if you don't do these things, we're going to impose real costs on them. And so we did not get, Tony, during our time, we did not get to the conditions where we felt comfortable that we could complete the withdrawal of our forces. And so President Trump never instructed us to do that. We maintained the posture, the deterrence posture, that would deliver on behalf of the United States of America, all the while working to try to convince the Taliban and the other Afghans too. We shouldn't focus just on them. There are lots of bad guys in the region, to convince the others that are part of what will ultimately have to be an Afghan reconciliation. I pray that that takes place quickly. I'm not optimistic, but I pray for it. We've got Christians at risk. We know all of these things. We were working to deliver those set of conditions. They did not occur before we departed office. And therefore, we made the decision that we weren't going to leave until they got them done.
Well, you made, in the previous segment, as we were wrapping up, you said 2,500 troops that were there. That footprint was there. It secured the airport. It secured the base. And no attacks on Americans. I mean, that's a small price to pay for peace. I know we didn't want to be there eternally, but when you look at the chaos that has ensued and the lives, quite frankly, I think are going to be lost of religious minorities and others as a result of the debacle of our retreat, it seems like we could have stayed a little bit longer with those 2,500 troops to hold them at bay, and not to mention the strategic nature of that air base that's there.
Tony, I think that's true. We didn't, when we left in January, we didn't have a date where we could see that we could pick out on the calendar. We didn't see the date that those conditions would be met. You always live in hope that you'll get to that place and get there, right, as quickly as you can. But we hadn't yet been able to see that we thought there was a pathway forward to the date. But we knew this too. The other thing that was different was the Taliban clearly knew that President Trump and our team was prepared to impose costs on them. This is the difference. This is why I think we were able to hold that deterrence model with just a couple thousand folks on the ground, and the Biden administration couldn't do so. And the Taliban came to see that they could push at a checkpoint, push in a provincial capital, push in a community, and America would withdraw. And when you push and withdraw, they see weakness, and so they began to roll up other parts of the country and ultimately put pressure on the capital in Kabul. They didn't put pressure on the capital in Kabul under the Trump administration because we were very clear about what would happen if they did.
Secretary Pompeo, but that weakness was not contained in terms of its perception and its, well, the reality of it was not contained within the borders of Afghanistan. I mean, I think our other enemies, China, North Korea, they're all watching this.
Tony, as a larger, more strategic matter, you are absolutely right. You should know that I saw so clearly when the United States struck the IRGC leader Qasem Soleimani, the whole world took note. We could watch leaders around the world saying America is serious about protecting its interests. When those same leaders observe weakness from an American president, whether that's Chairman Kim in North Korea or Xi Jinping in China or Vladimir Putin in Russia, when they sense that America will retreat when pushed, they're going to push. One of the greatest losses from what's happened these past 3 weeks now is American credibility to our friends and the absence of fear from our enemies that will ensue from American weakness.
One final question for you, Mr. Secretary. I know that you have a strategic mind. You are looking globally. Where do you think the next threat comes from? What's the next shoe to fall as a result, or next domino, I should say, to fall as a result of this display of weakness by America?
I think we've increased the risk of a couple of things happening in the relatively near future. First, other terrorists, other radical Islamic jihadists will see that America can be pushed. And so whether that's al-Shabaab in Africa or al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula in Yemen or any of the other places we find these radical Islamic terrorists, I think they will see that there's more room. Remember, they were able to create an entire caliphate in Syria that took the Trump administration to put back against. So this model of America's unwillingness to do what we need to do to protect from terrorism, I think they'll see, and they'll seize upon that. I fear that. The other thing is, I do worry for places like Taiwan, where there are high tensions and bad actors that want to move. I wonder if the leaders there won't also sense that America's not prepared to do the things that it ought to rightly do to defend its friends and be partners with its allies, and there'll be a push from the Chinese there.
Well, Mr. Secretary, once again, we're out of time. I could spend all day talking with you about this because I think these things are extremely important for many, many reasons for us and for our allies and for, in particular, religious minorities around the globe. And again, I want to thank you for the work you did in the Trump administration and want to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Tony. Bless you. Have a good day, sir.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkiel, thanking you for being with us, and I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.